Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I see that you just heard one of my prophetical oracles, precisely the fourth oracle that your father, the faithful and true prophet Moses, recorded for you in the book of Numbers. Now you might think it strange that I, Balaam, would approach you at such a time as this. After all, why would I, a false weasel-like prophet, a man of pagan divination, visit you this epiphany? Not only that, but why would I, being the kind of detestable, greedy, and seductive character that the scriptures state that I am, not only visit you at this time, but at this place? This chapel is a true house of prayer, at a seminary, a school of prophets and pastors. Why should I be here at this time and this place? Well, let's just say that this time and place is exactly why I am here. This time of the church year is Epiphany, the season of light, the Christmas of the Gentiles. The one sent from the Father at Christmas is not only true man and King of the Jews, but the true God and the light of the nations. As you think about Epiphany's gospel, you might ask, how did these wise men, those magi from the east, first hear of a star and follow it to Bethlehem? Well, that star was really the embodiment or the fleshing out of my prophetical words many years before. That visible sign in the sky was the way God factually revealed to them that this indeed was the King of the Jews. Now you may debate among yourselves how exactly these Eastern sages may have been acquainted with my prophecy. But let me also add that the Jews were dispersed in the East, both during Israel's exile to Assyria and Judah's exile to Babylon. And the fact that I too am a man from their own country and the mountains of the East, it made these sayings even more important to them. When I prophesy, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. And then, a star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel. These wise men concurred with me. That's why they said in Matthew, we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. It wasn't just any star, but they saw his star. This star pointed them to Christ, the Savior of both the Jews and the Gentiles. And the star of his word still points you there to Jesus Christ, your Savior, King, and Priest. Now, to say my words are prophecy is not heretical. Remember, there were others in the scriptures, some who also were not noble in character, but also prophesied. Most, like myself, are not even regarded as those who inherited salvation. According to your scriptural training, Caiaphas was a wicked man, yet who occupied the office of high priest. He prophesied how it would be better that one die, Christ, should die, than that all the people, the nation, should perish. King Saul also occupied the office of king and prophesied, all the while having the intent of killing David. Also, some Jewish men, known as the sons of Sceva in the book of Acts, drove out demons in Jesus' name, although they themselves did not believe. So to say I prophesied is not a stretch. However, I must tell you that all of us were either killed or punished severely for carrying out such wickedness. My closest connection to Israel and Yahweh occurred when the king of Moab, Balak, requested my divination services in order to curse some of his relatives, Israel. In Balak's mind, I was Moab's answer to Israel's leader and prophet Moses. And because of my background, Balak thought I could manipulate in some way the God of Israel by making animal sacrifices in order to curse Israel. And let me add this, Balak offered me a very handsome amount of money. In fact, after I refused to go the first time, the pot of money even got larger and sweeter. I was willing to do almost anything to go and follow on Balak's request. But every time I tried to curse Israel, I was stifled. In fact, I was so consumed with this greedy venture and spiritually blinded that when I did attempt to see Balak, my donkey, while passing through a narrow pass of vineyard walls, literally pushed my leg painfully against one of them. However, what my donkey saw, I did not. In fact, I refused three times to follow my donkey, until the Lord opened the donkey's mouth to tell me how I treated him severely. Now that tells you something, doesn't it? If God opened up the mouth of my donkey, he can speak through anyone. But after this, the angel of the Lord, with sword in hand, opened my eyes to see what my donkey saw, and hindered me again from cursing Israel. As a greedy, covetous man, I prophesied this oracle, which you have heard, but I was prevented from cursing Israel and cashing in on Balak's request. However, I thought I had my due, for just one chapter after this prophecy, I seduced Israel into idolatry and sexual immorality as we worshiped Baal Peor. This, of course, led to my own doom and destruction and death. What is important for all true prophets and future prophets to take note of is this: the ability to declare God's word is not necessarily a sign of one's holiness. A preacher occupies a public station and performs the greatest signs and wonders and works that could take place on earth. Through his office, through the word and sacrament that he administers, He brings to faith. He rescues from death. He releases people from the devil and the power of Satan and leads to eternal life. Nevertheless, the man himself may be unbelieving and wicked. In fact, Article 8 of your Augsburg Confession also alludes to this point. Even though wicked men serve in the office, the sacraments they administer are still valid. As present and future pastors, you must always distinguish well between the office and the person. As your own father in the faith, Dr. Luther, distinguished quite well, the office belongs to God and not to man. The person who sits in that office may be anything he pleases. And whether it be an earthly or spiritual authority, it is given by God. But not all who occupy offices are either pious or Christians. You've seen this in the example of the previous individual who served in the office of President of the United States. While holding office, he personally did many questionable and sinful things. However, this is not unlike some of the kings of Israel, like Ahaz, who persecuted true prophets like Elijah. But of primary importance, especially in the office of the ministry, is to praise and confirm the doctrine of Christ. If what is said is consistent with what Christ has commanded, Christ has instituted, or spoken, then a sermon is right, even though the person may be a good for nothing. But if his words do not shed light on Christ, it is not to be believed or accepted, regardless of how saintly or precious the person may be. Well, now you know what I am, a good-for-nothing villain. And yet God used me to bring forth today's beautiful words. However, I would encourage you not to make the same mistake I made and think too highly of yourself. Your preaching and teaching effectiveness does not depend on your personality, your smile, or suave presentation. It depends only on the fact that you glorify and bring honor to Christ, as the wise men did, who worshiped our Lord and brought him gifts. One of the best ways to keep yourself honest and draw people into the light of Christ is to let people see who you are. First, show them that you too are a sinner in need of the light of Christ. Do not give people the opportunity to say, "Physician, heal thyself." Before you preach a sermon or teach, preach it to yourself, lest you be deceived, as I was. For even though you may speak truthful words and still lead others to eternal life, one's own hypocrisy and self-deception can prevent one from ever entering heaven. But don't stop there. After preaching the law, bring the joyful light of the gospel. Point out to people the one who is both star and scepter, the one who is prophet, priest, and king. Point them to the Lord who came in a manger and shed his blood on a cross to redeem all nations. Point them to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Point them to the one who still intercedes to the Father on your behalf. Point them to the one who lives and reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For as you point people to Christ's manger and cross, just as the star pointed the wise men to our Lord, you will point them and yourself not only to Christ, but eternal life. What a time and what a place. My time has come and gone, but yours is just continuing and beginning. My place is set, but yours is not yet set. As you embark on the prophetical path, may you always be blessed with a truthful ministry spoken not only from your lips, but from your heart as well. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.